2 Samuel, chapter 21, beginning at verse 15. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines. And David waxed faint. And Ishbi-benob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he, being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David sware unto him, saying, Thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God and the opportunity that we have this morning to come and hear it preached. Thank you for the health. Thank you for the freedom. And thank you for the opportunity you've given us by giving us a pastor, a church, and an opportunity and folks that love you to be able to have a church. Now, God, we'd pray you'd speak to our hearts this morning. Help us. We need your help this morning. We need to hear from heaven. For that to be accomplished, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power. Use him this morning to help us. And then, Father, if there's one in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray before they leave today, they would settle it today in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, I need to give you the cell phone warning. We have our teenagers with us today. Brother Matt and Brother Mark are out of town with their other families at Christmas time, so our teens are in with us today. And but for everybody, listen now, make sure your cell phone is turned off, turned to vibrate, and put it away so we don't fool around with it during the service. Some folks use their phones for their Bible and stuff. That's, of course, all right. But that put up. Now listen, if it goes off during the service, here's what happens. All the weight you gain during the holidays, you will never be able to lose it. It'll be a permanent attached curse in your life. And since it's the holidays, the people who are around you, the weight they gain will be attached to you also. So think about that for just a moment. So make sure you turn your cell phones off or turn them to vibrate. And next Sunday, the weight I gain will attach itself to you, and then you really had it. You are, who said oh? Back there. Now, we know, dear people, listen, I don't want anybody to get up and go out of the room. I want you to sit and listen very carefully, please. We know that David killed Goliath, right? Yes? You can say amen. It's all right. It's a Baptist church. We know that David killed Goliath. True? All right. 17-year-old boy walks down into the Valley of Elah with a pocket full of rocks, a shepherd's staff, and a sling, and kills Goliath, almost 10 feet tall. A trained, two-legged, walking, killing machine was Goliath. He wasn't just big, he was a killer. And Goliath is covered in 125 pounds of armor, carries a spear, the head of the spear weighed 15 pounds. And David, a boy with a pocket full of rocks and a shepherd's scrip, a little bag, and a shepherd's sling, piece of leather with a notch in the center of it, another leather, and a shepherd's staff in his hand, goes down into the Valley of Elah. And David, a shepherd boy with no experience of giant killing, was used of God to kill Goliath. Incredible account in the Bible. By the way, not fictional, fact. And God used a boy to kill a giant, because he wanted us to learn that when you face things in your life that are like giants, God, with God's enablement and your help in your life and helping in your life, you can do the same. That's what it's about. It's not just about what a kid could do, it's what you could do if God will help you. Your giants can fall also. All right, now, so we know that about David and Goliath, don't we? Now you go 40 years later. David is at the prime of his life. He's 57. Absolute prime of life. He's at the pinnacle of his manhood, strength, and ability. Not 58 when you're going downhill and about to die. 57, perfect age. Thank you. He is 57 years old. In 2 Samuel chapter 21 that you read this morning, I want you to look at it again with me. You need to keep your Bibles open. I want you to look at just a few verses with me here today. It says in verse 15, moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. And David went down with his servants with him and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. Look at verse 16. And Ishbibenob, which was of the sons of the giant. That means he's the son of Goliath. Which was the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight. He, being with a new girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. In other words, David takes on another giant 40 years later, and this time David loses. Now he's not killed, but this giant overcame David. The next verse shows you someone else had to kill David's giant this time. Listen to me, the giant killer had a giant that he couldn't kill. And it wasn't that David didn't know how. He obviously knew how to do it. It wasn't that David wasn't able. God, who helped him when he was 17, could help him when he's 57. It's not an accident. It's not an oops. Listen now. The giant killer had a giant that he couldn't kill. Now, if the account of David killing Goliath is to teach us that with God's help, you can conquer the giants of your life, then this account is to teach us why we have giants we can't kill. Now, we're not talking about someone experienced, please. By the way, David at 57 was an experienced soldier. And not only that, he's king of Israel. He's the leader of the nation. He's the most experienced man. He had killed, literally. Bible says, the people used to sing the song, Saul has slain his thousands, David his tens of thousands. I don't know if he killed tens of thousands of people in battle, but I know this. From the time he was 17 years old and a shepherd boy who could kill the giant, from that time to this event right here, David was an experienced soldier. He not only knew how to kill giants, he knew how to kill people. Now listen carefully. And this, here he comes into a contest facing one of the sons of Goliath. There were more than one. And he loses. And this time the giant doesn't fall, David does. And this time David is not victorious, the giant is victorious. And this time David has to have someone else kill his giant for him. Now listen, we're finishing the year of 2010, and I think we need to take a look at why there was a giant David could not kill. Victories in the Christian life are not automatic, you understand? They're also not perpetual. Listen, that means they don't just happen and keep happening and happen and keep happening. And because you saw God do something great in your life once, it'll just happen every time. No, that's not how it works. See, that's what this is in the Bible for, to show us that he who could kill a giant could lose also to a giant. Not to show us what defeat is, to show us how to avoid how David couldn't kill a giant, you understand? Now, you face giants this year. I guarantee there'll be a few more in 2011. And we need to understand today why David could not kill the giant. Let me get to the scripture very quickly. Now watch. Number one, look at verse 15. Because he came to the battle in weakness. Look at the verse. Moreover, verse 15, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines. Last statement of the verse. And David waxed faint. He was weakened. Look here. You know why? He fought a lot of battles. He's 57 years old, even though that's the prime of life. He's 57 years old, but he comes to this battle. He doesn't have the same strength now. He comes to the fight in weakness. And he's about to face a giant in his life, another giant in his life, only this time David doesn't have. And it's not just because he's not young. Ladies and gentlemen, truthfully speaking, David should have killed this giant much more easily than the other one. He has more experience. He has more knowledge. He has more maturity. He has everything he needs. He's got all the background. He's got everything that's necessary. He has experience of killing giants, but he comes at a place of weakness in his life, and he loses instead of wins. Do you know why you will not be able to kill certain giants in your life? because you come to the battles of life in weakness, physical weakness. I'm not just talking about being tired now. I'm not just talking about going through difficulties in life. Ladies and gentlemen, do we not understand today that the strength of the child of God doesn't come from the arm of might? It doesn't even come from the determination of your character. It doesn't come by happenstance, but strength comes from God. Do you hear me? The Bible tells us very carefully in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It's a spiritual thing. The strength of the child of God comes from the working of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. See, we know of Samson in the Bible. Samson, a mighty man of such power and strength that one day when he was confronted by a lion, Samson grabbed the lion by the upper part of the jaw and the lower part of the jaw. The strongest part of a lion are his jaws. He can literally crush and break bones with those jaws. And Samson was able to take the jaws and rip that lion in half. That's the kind of superhuman strength that he had. But the truth is, nothing is said about Samson being muscle-bound. But it is said of Samson in the Bible more than any man who ever lived on this earth that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. His spiritual, his literal physical strength and his spiritual strength came from the Spirit of God, not from the fact that Samson lifted weights until his neck was bigger than his head. Frankly, besides the long hair on Samson, were he to walk in the room, you would not know him to be any different than any other man. He was just a man, but the Spirit of God made him a superman, as it were. I'm not saying today you'll walk with God, you'll live for God, and you'll be able to lift automobiles. I'm saying this, the strength you need for the daily battles of life and the giants that are coming come from the Almighty God of heaven. Don't forget that principle of Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. Now look here. You leave Jesus out of this stuff in your life. You walk off on your own, decide you're going to cut your own path, go your own way, live your own life. You can do that because God will let you. But guess what else He'll let you do? He'll let you go in your own strength and in your own power, and that'll run out after a while. I don't care who you are today, and I don't care if you've got character down to the socks on your feet this morning. I guarantee you there will come a day when what you have isn't going to be enough, and you have to have what God can give you, and only God can give you, to get it done, friend. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It starts with your salvation. Starts with knowing Christ as personal Savior. Listen, do you understand that when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, trusting Him alone for your salvation, your simple faith and dependence is upon Christ and His death on the cross, His burial, and His resurrection. And you put your faith in Christ's payment as the only hope, I said the only hope, of salvation. And you ask Him to save you. Jesus comes to live inside of your heart. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the Bible says. The Spirit of God lives inside of your heart and life. You have the Creator of the universe, power and presence in your life. Then if you will trust and depend upon, the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. David came to fight this giant, and he wasn't physically ready. He wasn't spiritually ready. He was in a weakened condition, and he loses this fight. So will you, and so will I. Now, friend, look at me this morning. Do you understand today? You do it your way, you'll run out of enough strength to handle it your way. You go your own path, and there will come a time where you'll walk into the darkness of life without light or hope. I guarantee you that. You'll run out of the strength you need to do the things you need to do in life. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, chapter 24 and verse number 10, it says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. It doesn't prove that you're a weakling. It proved you came to the day of adversity with strength not enough, great enough to handle what you faced. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't think that you can outlast with the obstacles of your life and the giants, and you'll just get lucky. Friends, you won't get lucky. You'll run out of strength and won't be able to do what you need to do. Don't leave through Christ out of Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Paul said. And that means you, and that means me also. That means there's strength enough to handle the biggest battle of your life. There's strength enough to walk the darkest valley of your life. There's strength enough to climb the highest mountain God puts in front of you. There's strength enough to conquer the greatest enemy that you face in your life. There is strength sufficient for every need in our lives. And the God of heaven has the source. Is your life, listen now, is your life close to Him? Enough to draw on that strength? Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We think that word rest means, hey, it makes all my problems go away. No, it means a break. He gives you a respite. He gives you a little calm. And then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. A yoke was a piece of wood or metal or leather that made two animals do the same thing because they pulled together. And God, Jesus said, I'll take you, get in the other side of this yoke with me, and we'll pull this thing together. I got news for you, friend. He'll pull much stronger than you can pull. He'll carry you when you can't stand. He'll walk when you can't walk. He'll lift you when you need it if you're in the yoke and walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. David couldn't kill this giant because he came to the battle in weakness. Look at this. Look at verse number 16 now, please. And Ishbi-benob, which was of the sons of the giant. Oh, you know what? Listen, when David killed Goliath, if you remember the account of 1 Samuel 17, he goes down to the brook and he's getting ready to face Goliath. He picks five smooth stones. He only needs one for Goliath. But the rest of this chapter, chapter 21, we're reading in 2 Samuel, there are four, either sons or immediate descendants of Goliath left. I believe David knew there were four others. But he just took the one. Do you know why David couldn't kill this giant? Because he left some things undone in his life. There shouldn't have been any more descendants of Goliath. He should have got them all. Now here's what we do. God helps us conquer a giant in our life, and we're content with that. That's good enough. I don't need to deal with these other things in my life. All right, fine. I quit this, but I don't have to give up these other things in my life. You're leaving seed for future giants in your life. This Ishbi-benob should have never come up, should have never existed. He should have never faced him, but because he left some things undone in his life, he faced another giant 40 years later. 40 years later, ladies and gentlemen, he faced the son of the giant. Now listen to me. If you got some things undone in your life, some things you know you're supposed to have done, some things you're supposed to do, something God wants you to do with your life, and you've not taken care of that yet. Well, I don't do this anymore, Pastor Johnson, and I don't do that anymore, and I got over this in my life, and God helped me there. Wonderful, fantastic. But friend, there are more than one giant in life. You'll face many more before it's over. But don't leave anything undone in a moment of victory when God brings things in your life. Most people will get right to the edge of seeing full, complete victory in their life and pull up short because a couple of victories are good enough. Hey, how many giants do you have to kill after all? Everyone that opposes you. Don't leave anything undone. You will create. The truth of the matter is the giants of Gath, this particular area where Goliath came from, those are all people that should have been conquered by their fathers, great-grandfathers, when they came to the promised land. But they left them there. Now their great-grandchildren are having to fight the giants they left for them. And David is having to fight the son of a giant because he left something. Question, what are you leaving undone in your life? What is it you know you're supposed to be doing or not supposed to do? What is it today that's left undone? You're going to face that giant again or a descendant of it. Something else will come out of that in your life and you'll have to fight another giant in your life. Most of us create our own giants because we leave things half done. When God comes to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, and he says, Abraham, I want you to leave your country and your kindred and your family, and I want you to go to a place, and when you get there, I'll tell you. This is exactly what God did to him. He didn't even tell Abraham which way to leave town. He just said, go, and when you get there, I'll tell you. In the journey of Genesis chapter 12 with Abraham, Abraham, the Bible said, went to a place called Haran. God was intending him to go a little further than that. Matter of fact, quite a bit further. And Haran in the Bible represented halfway. And when Abraham got halfway of where he thought he ought to be, and he didn't know because God didn't tell him, he pulled up short. Abraham pulled up halfway. He stopped halfway. Not all the way, halfway. Not all the way in, halfway. Not completely yielded, halfway. Yielded enough so I don't do, but not all the way. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, all the way yielded to God thing. Now look at me this morning. You leave things undone, you'll face more giants later on that you don't need to have to face. Just get it done. Complete it. Finish it. There was a giant that David could not kill. Also, because if you look in verse number 16, he faced a new sword. Look at that statement there. That was fascinating. Look at it. And Ishbi-benah, verse 16, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight. Look at this statement. He being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. A new sword. Something different came up now. Giant, sword. Now, David had seen that before, but not this one and not this sword. It was something different that came up in his life, something different he faced with this giant. David wasn't ready for that. Example, you get over the conquer the giant of hanging around the wrong crowd. If you don't ever get that, the old expression's true. If you don't quit hanging with the wrong crowd, you're going to hang with the wrong crowd. Yeah? That's right. You can go ahead and say amen anyhow. That's right. You don't get away from the wrong crowd, I guarantee you, you're going to hang with that bunch. They'll be your undoing, no question. Listen. So we get away from the wrong crowd, get around the right crowd, and start hanging around with the wrong crowd inside the right crowd. Hey, look at me. There are people in this church, frankly, I'm glad you're here, but you don't need to hang around with them. I'm glad everybody's here. I'm glad you've come, that you're in this place, and God has given you this place. But my friend, listen to me very carefully. You better watch out who you spend your time with. And it's fascinating how some people can conquer the giant of an absolute wicked crowd that's going the wrong way and get around a bunch of Christians who some of them aren't going to do what they're supposed to do, and you go down to that crowd. That's a new sword, you understand? Satan is a master at hiding his intentions and his directions in people's lives. So you quit drinking, but you don't ever deal with your temper. You understand? It's a new sword thing. Satan and sin hide their intentions behind something that looks somewhat different or new even. Anything from anyone, anything from anyone whose intent is to get you off track in the Christian life and away from what you do is simply a new sword and a new giant, and you just have to deal with it just like you did everything else and get blinders on yourself and go forward for God and do what you're supposed to do. You understand, the devil doesn't always jump out from behind the bushes in a red suit with a pitchfork and say, I'm the boogeyman. First of all, he doesn't wear a red suit. Secondly, he doesn't have a pitchfork. Thirdly, he lives in Washington, D.C. But anyway, the point is this. I'm sorry. Sacramento, too. But the truth of the matter is, it's just he doesn't announce himself. He doesn't just step right out and say, hey, by the way, this is from the devil, too. All you have to do is understand enough from the Word of God to understand anything that's trying to, and anyone associated with that that's trying to get me off track in my Christian life, I got to put blinders on that thing and just keep right on going. The same thing that killed the last giant will kill this one. And that's the next point about why David couldn't kill this giant. Why there was a giant David could not kill. And that's this. Where's the stuff he used before? Well, Pastor Johnson, I mean, that was 17-year-old and he's a shepherd boy, and of course he would have a shepherd's staff, and of course he would have the script, the Bible calls it, a little leather pouch where he'd keep those stones as he ran to the giant. And of course he would have a sling and all that stuff. Where's all that here? Well, he doesn't need that. Now he's 57 in the prime of his life, and he's taking on this giant. He doesn't need all that stuff. It's not necessary anymore. Hey, it killed the first giant. How about it? What's wrong with using what works? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. What's wrong with that? Oh, you understand, I'm not saying David needed to have a shepherd's staff in his hand, but those implements he had when he faced Goliath, they all represent something. You know what the shepherd's staff was? The shepherds used that to lean on while they're watching their sheep. That shepherd's staff was a picture of trust in God. Tell me you ever get anywhere in the Christian life, far enough down the road in your Christian life, where you don't need to trust God. and have a dependence on the Lord to help you. I don't care how long you've been saved, how long you know God. I don't care how long you've... Well, Pastor Johnson, after all, I've been in grace for some time. You still need to trust the Lord. You still need an old-fashioned dependence that God can take care of you and a faith and dependence in the Lord to help you. You still need the staff, friend. We all need that basic dependence upon the Lord to help us out. Giant failed to the first one. What's wrong with continuing to trust God in our lives? You don't ever get past that one. Well, of course, Pastor Johnson, I trust the Lord. But, you know, this situation is a whole lot different than what it was if you... Oh, really? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So then faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That kind of simple faith. We don't need that anymore. In Sunday school this morning, I used the illustration of how Jesus called a little boy, a child, to him in front of a bunch of grown-ups to teach them what great faith was. And then challenged those adults. They needed to have faith like that little child did. You stop trusting God, friend, I guarantee you, you're missing some of the implements that help you conquer great giants in your life. You know what the scrip was? It's a little pouch that they wore on their belt, as it were. That kept the stones close to them where they needed it. Guess what you and I need to face new giants? You still need to keep what you believe close to you. Huh? Don't you leave your church, your Christianity, in a church building somewhere. Don't you leave your trust and dependence on the Word of God somewhere on a coffee table with a picture of a hippie Jesus on the cover. That Bible ain't furniture, friend. That's the book, my friend, the Word of God. And we still need to keep it close to our hearts and to our lives and have a dependence and a faith in it. Plus, we need to have it there so we can put it in the sling. That picture's how you release those things and let them go. Do what the Bible tells you to do. Those stones are just little things, but mighty things. See, all that stuff David had was all a picture when he killed that first giant of how you kill any giant after that. Fact is, if David was really smart, he'd have gone back to his place where he lived. I guarantee you, he kept all that stuff. I know he kept Goliath's head. Gone back and got that staff and sling and stones and said, time to face another giant. I'm using what I know works. Stop rushing around reading the latest book on what somebody thought they said when they thought they figured something out when they haven't figured it out yet. To sell you a book for $42.95 that makes them a millionaire to tell you how to be a millionaire, please don't do that. Hey, look at me. Please don't chase the latest stuff in the Christian life. Come on. Quit wasting your time on the new stuff. How about the stuff that's been working for centuries? People with the simple faith that the God of heaven knows can do what needs to be done, and depending on things that you know have worked in your life. Where is that? We need to stay with what works. I'm sorry, it's not real exciting to some people to just go to church, read your Bible, love God, do right by your family, go to work, roll up your shirt sleeves, take care of business, do what you're supposed to do. I'm sorry, that's not as thrilling as us providing some kind of shock for you or some kind of entertainment or thrilling thought in your life. But hey, friend, I tell you what, this country was built on the back of people who just got up and did what they had to do and kept on going. No, not nowadays. We had an 8-year-old kid out here in the foyer the other day telling one of our ushers, I got anger issues. 8 years old. You can't tell me that 8-year-old figured out that one on his own. No, he went to school, got in a fist fight with somebody, and a counselor said, son, you got anger issues. He doesn't even know what that means. I'm sorry. Where did we get in this life without all the psychobabble junk of our society that excuses our conduct and our behavior? And everybody else that does what they're supposed to do, they just get up when they don't feel like it, do what they're supposed to do when they don't want to, accomplish with God's grace and help what's necessary, and just get to where they're supposed to be in life with the help of God in their life. Hey, that still works. And because David couldn't kill this giant, verse 17 says somebody else had to do it. Now here's what that means. Somebody else is getting the victories. You're missing them. David could have had two heads on his wall. I wonder what Goliath's head looked like 40 years later. Maybe he did the European thing on you. Hunters know what I'm talking about. Boil the skull and put it up there. Maybe he did that. I don't know. But I hope it wasn't the same head he cut off 40 years before. Kind of mummified. Sort of looked like Phyllis Diller, maybe. I don't know. But... or Joan Rivers before her 42 facelifts. I'm not sure, but he could have had two heads up there. Somebody else has to do his giant killing for him. Hey, hey, and you're missing victories now. Because remember, there are four descendants of Goliath. Before it's over, they'll all be gone, but somebody else will do all the rest of it. And David will miss out on all the rest of victories in his life. And he did his last, he got one and only giant, just one. So that's more than most people. He could have had five. God is in the business of bringing victories in our life when we use what works. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning, would you?